The Black Moon, a novel of Cornwall, 1794 to 1795, by Winston Graham, read by Oliver Hembrough. For Marjorie. Book 1, Chapter 1. Elizabeth Warleggan was delivered of the first child of her new marriage at Trenwith House in the middle of February 1794. It was an occasion of some tension and anxiety. Throughout, it had been understood and agreed between Elizabeth and her new husband that the confinement should take place at their townhouse, where the best medical attention was available. But Truro had been pestilential for months, first with summer cholera, which had persisted right through to Christmas, and then more lately with influenza and measles. There had seemed no hurry. Dr. Behenna, who rode out weekly to see his patient, assured them that there was no hurry. And so possibly there would not have been. But on the evening of the 13th, which was a Thursday, Elizabeth slipped and fell while going to her room. The fine stone staircase leading up from the great hall ran into a typically dark Tudor corridor from which the two main bedrooms of the house were reached by a flight of 5 more steps. Elizabeth caught her foot in the rough edge of the top stair and fell to the bottom. No one saw her, though 2 of the servants heard her cry out and the noise of her fall. And one of them, hurrying along the corridor with a warming pan, came upon her mistress lying like a broken flower across the bottom step. Immediately the house was in panic. George, fetched from the winter parlour, came heart in mouth, picked up his fainting wife and carried her to bed. As Dr. Dwight Ennis was still at sea, the only medical man within easy reach was old Thomas Choke, so he was summoned for lack of a better, while another servant was sent galloping to fetch Dr. Behenna. Except for a bruised elbow and a turned ankle, Elizabeth at first seemed no worse, and after a generous bleeding, she was given a warm cordial and settled off to sleep. George disliked almost everything about Choke: his pompous conceit, his boasted prowess in the hunting field, his neck or nothing surgery, his simpering wife, and his Whig opinions. But he made the best of it, gave the old man supper and suggested he should stay the night. Choke, who had not been inside the house since Francis Poldark died, stiffly agreed. It was a grey meal. Mrs. Chenoweth, Elizabeth's mother, in spite of her blind eye, lame leg and stumbling tongue, had refused food and insisted on staying in her daughter's room to be there if she woke. So only Jonathan Chenoweth joined the other 2 men at the table. Talk was of the war with France, which Choke, following his hero Fox, opposed, of Edward Pellew's exploits at sea, of the Duke of York's inept display in Flanders, of the Reign of Terror in Lyon, of the scarcity of corn, of the rising price of tin and copper. George despised both the men he sat with, and was mainly silent, listening to them wrangling. Choke's hoarse growl, Chenoweth's throaty tenor. For a time in his mind the anxiety had passed. Elizabeth had shaken herself, nothing more. But she must not be so abominably careless of herself. Often recently she had done what George considered foolhardy, reckless things while carrying this precious burden, this first fruit of their marriage. One perhaps expected her to be depressed, temperamental, given to quick tears. One did not expect her to risk her life attempting to ride a horse which had been long in the stable and was unreliable at the best of times. One did not expect to find her lifting heavy books onto a high shelf. One did not expect. It was a new side to her personality. George was always discovering new sides to her. Some fascinated, some, like this, disturbed. From the first moment he set eyes on her so many years ago, he had always wanted her, but perhaps wanted her most as a collector, as a connoisseur wants the most beautiful thing he has ever seen. Since their marriage, possession had familiarized but not spoiled the image. On the contrary, he had come to know her for the first time. If real love was in his nature, then he loved his wife. On these calm reflections, breaking them up like a stone cast in a pool, interrupting the 2 stupid old men and their ill-informed